أن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله تبارك وتعالى، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. عباد الله، إني سائق إليكم إن شاء الله تعالى حديثنا للنبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. وبعد إسمائي إياكم هذا الحديث الشريف الصحيح الذي فينا يجد في قلبه أدنى شك أو ريب في هل هذا الدين الإسلام هو الحق الباطن. بعد أن تسمع هذا الحديث فلا ينبغي لأهدنا أن يستمر على هذا الشك، فكأن النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم مختفي في مكان ما يتفرج إلى الدنيا وأحوالها، فهو يخبرنا بالذي يقع يوم بعد يوم، بل ساعة بعد ساعة. ونهيتكم علما بأننا لا نعتقد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم مختفيا، بل هو ميت كما قال الله تعالى: إنك ميت وإنهم ميتون. Brothers and sisters in Islam, we're going to mention a hadith now, inshaAllah ta'ala, from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And after mentioning this hadith, and you hearing this hadith, any of us who have come into Islam, and we have any doubt as to whether we've made the proper choice and decision, after this hadith, you should not have any doubt. Because it is as if the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is somewhere in this dunya, hiding, looking at what's going to happen and telling us that it's happening. And it's happening the way he said it. But we do not believe that the Prophet is hiding somewhere. The Messenger of Allah is dead, in his grave, praying and worshiping Allah, as he said in the authentic hadith. That's the case of all of the Anbiya and the Rusul. And the authority of Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: حدثنا النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم فقال: إن بين يدي ساعة لهرجا. فقال أبو موسى الأشعري: يا رسول الله، وما الهرج؟ قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: القتل. فقال بعض المسلمين بعد أن سمعوا والتفسير لهذه الكلمة، قالوا: يا رسول الله، إنا نقتل الآن في كل عام من المشركين كذا وكذا، العدد الكبير. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ليس بقتل المشركين، ولكن يقتل بعضكم بعضا حتى يقتل الرجل جاره وابن عمه وذا قرابته. فقال بعض الناس من الصحابة من العرب، وكانت العرب تستغرب من هذا الكلام لأنها كانت تهتم بذا قرابة، قالوا: يا رسول الله، ومعنا أقولنا ذلك اليوم؟ قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لا، تنبئ أقول أكثر ذلك الزمان، ولا يخلف إلا هباء من الناس لا أقول لكم. أبو موسى الأشعري said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said: verily, before the hour is established, there is going to be al-haraj. When the Prophet used this Arabic word to prove that he was the most eloquent of the speakers, Abu Musa had to ask, what is al-haraj? Explain to us, what is al-haraj? What do you mean? The Prophet ﷺ said, al-haraj is killing. murder. Upon hearing that, the rest of the Sahaba said, O Messenger of Allah, every single year, we're killing the kuffar. We're murdering the kuffar. Big numbers from amongst them. The Prophet said, I do not mean you're killing the kuffar. I mean you're killing one another, and the kuffar killing themselves, and you killing the kuffar, and the kuffar killing you. Murder amongst the sons and daughters of Adam. Until the point, he said, that a man will kill his neighbor, or his cousin, or his closest relative. Upon hearing that, the Arabs, who are people who took care of their relations, they found that statement strange, that a man would kill his relative. They said, O Messenger of Allah, will we have our minds on that day? Will we have our intellect on that day? He said, verily, the people will not have their intellect on that day. They will not have their mind. And there will be only a few people who have their mind. The rest of the people would be with no mind. They'll have mental illness. This hadith that the Prophet ﷺ told us about over 1,416 years ago is coming true today. And that we see that mental illness, which has been prophesied in the hadith, is rampant in this society. And as we've been saying to the people for the longest, if you were to take people from this society and do a clinical analysis about their mental state, you will find that the majority of the people have mental disorders. So the hadith helps us understand, ikhwan, that these mental disorders and illnesses are not peculiar to the kuffar, but the Muslims as well will be affected with mental illness. So now we're going to take a look at our behavior to prove that Muhammad is the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's a mental illness that's called kleptomania. Kleptomania is a disease in which the person has an insatiable desire to steal that which does not belong to him. We have in this masjid, on the day of the Eid, in the month of Dhul-Hijjah, someone came and stole 16 bags of meat that was left for the fuqara of our community. Left for the poor people of our community. On the day of the Eid, in the month of Dhul-Hijjah, a month that's haram, they stole the sadaqah from the fuqara of the Muslims, from the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that's not kleptomania, wallahi, I don't know what it is. People are stealing the jackets of the Muslims from the masjid. On the same day of Eid, the day that we stood before Allah and prayed to Allah, someone stole 150 pounds out of the pocket of a brother. Kleptomania. From the mental illnesses that affect our community at once is that we find the mental illness that's known as hydrophobia or hydrochondria. That's the disease where the person has an aversion to water. He's afraid of water. So we find that some of the Muslims, and we had to give a khutbah about this, and the case has not changed. They walk around dirty and filthy and smelling. And they don't realize that Islam has come to tell them to clean yourself. To make a ghusl at least once a week. And they come to the masjid with this repugnant smell. We had to give a khutbah, but it's still the same. And subhanAllah, ikhwan, the problem even exists amongst the women. You all know, because of what happens to the woman during the course of a month, it is a terrible thing for her not to take care of her hygienic situation. We have sisters who do not realize the importance of a tahara in al-Islam, so they leave their babies running around with diapers, nappies that are filled with defecation hours at a time. Houses are dirty, calling the jinn to be your companions in your home. Mental disorder. From the mental disorders, ikhwan, that affect us in this community is the sickness of schizophrenia. Schizophrenia. The person who hears in his head voices. And as a result of the voices, he has multiple personalities. We find those of you who are walis of sisters, those of you who your daughter, or you have a ward, the brother comes to you, with one picture, one personality, and he puts on his best face and his best behavior in order to marry the girl. And then, after marrying the girl and taking her home, he begins to beat the woman down, to physically jump on the Muslim woman. He changes from that personality to something else. Some of us, when we're with the Muslims, we find ourselves being harsh and hard on the Muslims, one personality. When we go with the kuffar, whether we work with them or live with them, we have rahmah, and we're easy with the kuffar. In spite of the fact that Allah tells us in the Quran, Muhammad al-Rasulullah, وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ أَشِدَّوْا عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَا بَيْنَهُمْ. They are hard on the kuffar and easy with the Muslims. Schizophrenia, from the mental disorders that affect our community, is this problem of paranoia. Al-paranoia. And it's manifested in many ways. It can be a khutbah in and of itself. But I'd like to give you an example of the paranoia that we have amongst some of the sisters of this community. Many women from amongst the Muslims are not satisfied with the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allowed the brother to take on more than one wife. So she's paranoid that whenever the phone rings, he's scheming and conniving, looking for a second wife. And he threatens the Muslim man and says, if you get married again, I'm going to leave you. Them to take my kids. Then we have the sister who's already in a plural marriage. She's already a co-wife. Her paranoia causes her, whenever the husband leaves on her day, she sits in her house and she frets herself to death, thinking he's with the other woman. Making herself sick, thinking he's with the other woman. Paranoia. Mental illness. From the mental illnesses that affect us in this community is the fact that we have some brothers who are affected with the disease that's known as adrenaline junkie. Those people who have this appetite to cause their thyroid glands to secrete this adrenaline. They get high off of this adrenaline. It's like the kuffar who throw themselves off of bridges doing bungee jumping. How does it affect us? It's not uncommon, Ikhwan, as I look out in the audience, to see those people who Allah has blessed with cars from amongst these young brothers in this community. It's not uncommon to find that these people drive around the streets of London in residential areas at 90 miles an hour, 85 miles an hour in a residential area, because he has this thing about speed, not realizing that speed kills. How would you like, Ahi? How would you like to have your child leave your house and play on the sidewalk with his brothers and sisters and dash out into the street after the ball, and someone like you is driving 80 miles an hour and he crashes into your child and he throws him 80 feet away, and then your wife comes out to pick up the child only to find his brain staring on the face? Just like you don't like it, someone else doesn't like it for their child. How are you driving so fast with Muslims in your car? The blood of the Muslims are halal for you. If you crashed and killed yourself, and you killed them, you will be held responsible in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah tells us, وَلَا تَقْتُلُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ بِكُمْ رَحِيمًا. Do not kill yourself. Do not destroy yourself. Allah is merciful towards you. He gave you the car so that you don't have to take the bus to go shopping. He gave you the car so that you can take your wife in the car wherever she has to go. You don't have to walk. Take care of this amana. Ikhwan, from the mental illnesses, one of the most dangerous ones that we've seen with our own eyes is what's known as delusions of grandeur. You see these kuffar walking around, people thinking that they're Winston Churchill or Napoleon. Not that those men were great. Greatness is determined by the Quran and the Sunnah. Kuffar walking around like Dr. York, thinking he's Isa ibn Maryam. Louis Farrakhan, Kafir, thinking he's the Mahdi, a reincarnation of Isa ibn Maryam. Delusions of grandeur. How does it affect the Muslim? We have brothers from amongst us and sisters who are amongst us
who look at the other brothers and sisters and think more about themselves than they do about their brother. And that person may be closer to Allah than you. We think that we're better than the next brother or sister because Allah gave me a car, because Allah gave me a job, because I have a degree. This is a delusion of blindness. You think you're more than what you are. One of the most dangerous aspects and manifestation of this disease is these shabab. These young people running around thinking that they're ulama, giving fatwa. Darul Harb. This is jihad. This is a kafir. This is a spy. This one is with the government. And we've been telling you for a long time, before we even read this hadith, that those people are majaneen, majnoon. Delusions of pleasure. You are not in a position to talk about Islam. Making people's private parts halal. Because he's a sheikh. And he can't even speak out. Can't even recite Surah Al-Fatiha properly. Delusions of grandeur. You're going to destroy yourself and the Muslims. Brothers and sisters in Islam, let us take a close look at ourselves. Let us analyze what our problem is. Because some of us, wallahi, summa wallahi, some of us need clinical help. Some of us need clinical help. But the majority of us, inshaAllah ta'ala, if we only practice Islam properly, according to the way Allah wants it to be practiced, we can solve our problem. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ونسأل الله تعالى التوفيق والسداد. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلوات الله وسلامه على النبينا الكريم. Brothers and sisters in Islam, as you can see, the problems of mental illnesses and disorders, for the most part, you find them not staying only with the patient or the one who's sick. But the majority of the time, what happens is that those people who are surrounded or who are surrounding the sick person, they are also affected. As this hadith clearly illustrates, when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about this time that we're living in, حَتَّى يَقْتُرُ الرَّجُلُ جَارَهُ وَابْنَ عَمِّهِ وَذَا قَرَابَتِهِ, and to the point that a man will murder his neighbor, his cousin, and his closest relative. His closest relative. As you see, anyone who's been living in England for the last 2 weeks, the murders that have been taking place for no apparent reason whatsoever. A few days ago, a Catholic who was rich, for those of us who think richness is the answer to our problem, money is the answer to our problem, he had everything to look for, to live for. Rich, young, in a country of Europeans, and he was European, rich, goes down the street and indiscriminately kills and slaughters 35 people for no reason whatsoever. 35 people. A few weeks ago, the man in Scotland goes into the school, defenseless children, and at point blank range, he starts to shoot them one at a time. Pow! 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 Can you imagine that your child goes to school here to learn Alif Ba Ta, to learn the Quran, and some nut comes off of the street, and unknowing to us what he wants, he comes up in this masjid, and he starts to blast our children and our wives who work here, and then you go to the hospital or to the mall to claim and identify your child, only to find that he has a hole in his head the size of an apple, for no reason whatsoever, other than that the man was a nut. 4 or 5 days ago, a man was released from 2 institutions of mental illness, consecutively, 2, he was released from them. Goes and burns down the house of his neighbor, burns her alive with her 2 small children. Burnt alive. The Prophet told us in the authentic hadith, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu, والذي نفسي بيدي ليأتين على الناس زمانا لا يدري القاتل بأي شيء قتل ولا يدري المقتول على أي شيء قتل. الله أكبر. إن لم يكن هذا الزمان والله لا أدري ما هو. There is going to come a time. He said, I swear by he who my soul is in his hand. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. I swear by Allah that the time is about to come on the people. That the man who had killed the murderer will kill and he doesn't know why he's killing. And the one who was murdered will be murdered and he does not know the reason why he was murdered. We are living in a time, akhi, like what happened in Brooklyn, New York, with the man whose name is Ferguson from Jamaica. Took out 2 semi-automatic weapons and started to blast away on the train. So for those of you who came down on the train, and for those of you who came down on any form of public transportation, look around. Because anyone you see on those trains can be a potential time bomb, ready to explode. And for no reason, you can be a victim of his random behavior. So what do we understand from this, Ikhwan? We understand that these are the times of the fitna. This is the time of the fitna. And if this fitna is like this, then how is the fitna of a Dajjal going to be? The fitna that the Prophet described as being the greatest fitna that Allah has created for the human being. It's like this. So we have to prepare ourselves. Number one, we have to prepare ourselves to defend ourselves. And we have to teach our wives how to defend themselves. And we have to teach our children about how they should defend themselves. This is Islam. Anytime the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a pending danger or harm about to befall the Muslims, he told them about it, even in the khutbah. Teach your children not to talk to strangers, not to take candy and sweets away from strangers. Better safe than sorry, Abdullah. Prepare yourselves and your families how to protect yourself. Number two, we have to realize, Ikhwan, that death is fastly approaching all of us. The angel of death is looking for all of us. And pretty soon we're going to meet him. And he's going to meet us from the keys of the unseen that no one knows except Allah, in which land he's going to die. How is he going to die? So the Muslim is the one who prepares himself to die anyway. He's going to be prepared to meet his Lord. Because why? He has an opportunity. He has youth and good health, and he has his mental capacities. He's storing money for himself in the bank. The money of good deeds. He's fasting and giving sadaqah. And if he stole the meat, or if he took the money from the brother, and if he beat his wife, if he did these things, he makes tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he repents and gives back the rights of the people to the people. The woman made zina from the Sahaba and made tawbah. And Allah's Prophet said, her iman, if you put it in the scales with the people of Medina, her iman will be even more. Make tawbah. Get back the stuff. Get back the equivalent of the meat. Prepare yourself on the day when the money will not benefit you, Abdullah. Ya ibn Adam, ahbit man shit, fa innaka mufariqu. Wasna ma shit. فَإِنَّكَ مُلَاقِي وَكَمَا تُدِينُ تُدَادُ. O sons of Adam, love whoever you want to love. For verily, you're going to leave him and you're going to part from him. Whenever, going to come a day that you have to part. And do whatever you want to do. Do good, do bad, do whatever you want to do. For verily, you're going to meet him. And as you do, it will be done unto you. بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن الكريم وأثبتنا الله سبحانه وتعالى جميعا على صراطه المستقيم. اللهم إننا نسألك بكل اسم هو لك سميت به نفسك أو علمته أحدا من عبادك أو نزلته في كتابك أو استأثرت به في علم الغيب عندك أن تجعل القرآن ربيع قلوبنا. اللهم إننا نسألك خير هذه الحياة الدنيا ونعوذ بك من شر ما وضعت فيها. اللهم أنت الله الذي لا إله إلا أنت. نسألك اللهم أن توفقنا فيما تحب وترضى. نسألك اللهم أن تحبب إلينا النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وأهله وأصحابه. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم، ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى الثبات والتوفيق والهداية. والأقول أقم الصلاة.